The April 15, 2024 Finance and Administration Mini Meeting will now begin. First item, let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. And please follow after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So I have a few announcements to make before the meeting as far as item number one. The meeting is being conducted in person at SCV Water Engineering Service Section Board. As a convenience, members of the public may also participate virtually by listening and or making comments to the committee by using a call-in number or a Zoom webinar link provided in the packet. In the event there is a disruption of phone or internet service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public, this meeting will not be postponed or rescheduled, but will continue without remote participation. The remote participation option is being provided as a convenience to the public and is not required. Members of the public are welcome to attend the meeting in person. Yes, we do here. Public comment cards are located on the table outside the boardroom. Please complete and return to Erica Dale to my left to help expedite your comments. The procedures for tonight's meeting are as follows. I will introduce each item, agenda item. Staff will present. I will ask for public comments. I will then ask for discussion and questions from the committee members. All of the members of the committee are present tonight. So we move on to item number two. Any public comment?
I'm not online as well.
Okay, thank you. So we move on to, that was public comment. Item's not on the agenda. The item number three. In the right order.
So item number three is to recommend approval of an internal control policy. There's a couple of reasons why we want to have an internal control policy, although we already do all of these already, but now it's all in one policy. We're seeking a lot of grants and a lot of federal grants, and the federal grants require that we have an internal control policy as stated in the uniform administrative requirements. And our policy set up the way that is in here with three objectives, five components, and there's 17 administrative items within those five components. One of them is, control environment. That's things we already do. We do ethics training. We have board oversight. We do performance evaluations. Under risk assessment, we have a process for reporting errors. We look for fraud risks. We have an employee manual. The general manager meets with the executive staff after a board meeting. Those are all part of risk assessments. The control activities includes having a budget, doing our financial reporting like we do here every month, having a strategic plan, a safety manual, IT controls, which include passwords and making sure we do patching. And then our information and communication to comply with the Public Records Request Act. We have policies, we report our ACFR, and then monitoring. So even though we already do all of these, and it was one of those things on our list that we've been wanting to do for a while, just making sure that we're following everything that's in the uniform guidance, We've put it all down on paper. So now we can say, here's our internal control policy. And like I said, even though we already do all of these things, it's nice to have them in one document we can always reference to. So the action is for the committee to recommend to the board of directors to approve the attached internal control.
Are there any public comment?
No online comment at this time.
Open up to questions, comments from the board members. Go ahead.
Thanks. I just had three very minor questions or comments. For under governing board's oversight responsibilities, it states that the board appoints the external auditor. Did we do?
Yes.
Have we done that?
Yes.
I don't remember doing that. Okay.
By approving their professional services contract.
Okay. Maybe it's just been a while, and I guess part of that. Okay. And then on page 10 of 12, there's number 13. It says an annual budget. Should that be biennial budget?
Yes, we can change that.
It's like two-thirds of the way down of that paragraph. And then there's reference to training, including the governing board. Is this supposed to be like financial-related training?
I think it's just, are we talking about, is it number 15?
Number 13. The last line reads, and the governing board attend outside pertinent professional training.
Those are just any of the trainings that you go to, whether it's AQUA or CSDA. They all have financial tracks.
But because I was like, I'd love to get some training on the financial aspect. I know I've been asking that for a long time. So if it was specific to financial, I would say I don't feel like we're really good. But if it's just generalized, okay. Thanks. That's it.
Comments from other members? Obviously, a pretty pro forma. I felt like I was reading an audit, actually. But after all these years of reading audits, with that, the pleasure of the board members here, should we put it on consent? Yes. All right. Move on. With that, item number four is a review of the annual list of professional services contracts.
So our agency's purchasing policy requires that annually we bring forth our professional services contracts that are in excess of $150,000. Just for review of the committee and to receive and file. There is one change that you have on your table here. It was just one expiration date that was changed. It's in red towards the middle of the page. That pretty much completes my report, other than just recommending that the Finance Administration Committee recommends that the Board of Directors receive and file the attached report of professional services contracts.
Any public comment?
No.
None at this time. All right.
Thank you. Questions from the board? Director Goose, I mean, Vice President Goose.
Do all of these get competitively bid, or are some sole source because of their qualifications?
They could be sole source if they've submitted the form to be sole source. So even if they are sole source, if they're over 150,000, they're still on here.
Right.
Anything, if it's a construction, anything related to construction over $30,000 is competitively bid. Anything that's under 150,000 still has to be, if it's professional services, informally bid.
Okay.
Anything over that has to be formally bid. So
professional services over 150,000 have to be formally bid. Okay. Because I know some of them at certain levels don't have to be if it's a particular specialty and we've worked with them.
Right. Will we check pricing?
Right. And we have some that our engineering has their contracts that mm-hmm. they work with. So they're already on the list and those have been approved so long as the rates and fees are the same as they are in the RFP.
Director Colley, you have any comments? We should probably, I don't have any comments either, other than I was kind of surprised at a number of professional services that weren't utilized during the year, companies. Mm-hmm. But that's probably the case of how work was done this last year. With that, we should probably put this on the consent item. I don't hear any objections. All right, I think we're to the item number five, which is, I think, why. Okay, with that, recommend approval of revised classification plan, position control, and job descriptions. Sure.
So we have a short presentation, similar but updated. This is the wrong presentation, Erica.
That's the part.
That's the last one.
Oh, just a moment, please. Okay.
Will we get up and entertain?
Yeah, song and dance for us.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Time anymore? The 16-digit passwords.
And the duo.
It's a demonstration of our security.
Yeah.
7-step authentication. And then we got a side shot.
Here.
Okay, so we go ahead and go to the next slide. Okay, so last month we presented justifications for 7 additional positions. On top of the 7 positions that were conditionally approved when we did the biannual budget process last year. So we had a lot of discussion at the last meeting, and we took your comments, and we are back again with a revised plan. And what we did is, let's go ahead and go to the next slide, Paul. So we did have 255 positions in the budget. We had proposed 14. Looking at fiscal year 24-25, we have deferred 3 of those positions to be reassessed during next year's budget process. So we are increasing our year-over-year to 4.56%. It reduces it by 3 to 29 new employees since the merger, and an average of 4.1 positions per year. Next slide. So the positions that we had conditionally, that we had conditionally approved during the budget process last year were fleet mechanic, SCADA technician, engineer, water resources planner, the senior quality assurance scientist, which if you look back last year, it was called the QAQC supervisor. Same job description, just the title has changed. Utility operations technician 2. What was on that list was a government affairs analyst, and that one we have pulled out of the budget. and can be deferred. We will continue just to outsource that function. And for the new additions, they're on the right-hand side, a security operations specialist, senior water systems tech, recycled water coordinator, senior electrical tech, water systems technician. We deferred the purchasing and warehouse technician and the facilities maintenance technician. Next slide. We also have the same reclassifications, which when we look at our career paths, of some that hit the budget. So on the financial analyst career path, it's $3,800. The county career path is $39,000. And there was we had proposed a little bit higher range for the senior quality assurance scientist. So when we did the comp study, it was a little bit less. So there would be a credit to that budget impact. Next slide. So this is what it looks like when we have all 14 positions and what the budget impact is. The X's on the right are the first seven that were included in the budget. So we can see the government affairs analyst has been deferred from that top list. And then number 8 and 9, the purchasing and warehouse tech and the facilities maintenance tech have been deferred. So now we have a fiscal year 24-25 additional budget impact of $610,000 for a total of $1.2 million for the 11 positions. I believe the last month it was close to $800,000 for the proposed additions for this seven. Next slide. So our strategic plan nexus supports E2, the increased focus on forward-looking financial information, and goal F is a high-performance team, attract and retain quality staff members, and grow a culture of continuous improvement that fosters SCB water values. And then F4.3 is develop clear career path mapping for employees and classifications to understand career growth within their specific roles at SCB Water. Next slide. So the recommendation is that the Finance Administration Committee recommends the approval, the Board of Directors approve the changes to the agency's classification plan, the agency's position control, and the class specifications for the Security Operations Specialist, the Financial Analyst 1 and 2, and the Senior Quality Assurance Scientist. And that completes my report, and we'd be happy to answer any questions. And as you can see, we have hiring managers for the 11 positions that we were reviewing, in case you have any specific questions.
Yeah, just to add on a couple of things. One is, I think, a healthy discussion internally to try to go through a prioritization discussion. Also, I think we had an opportunity, and Rochelle reflected that in the revised write-up that goes with this revised presentation. There was hopefully a little more clarity about particularly the security operations specialist role in the organization. I do think it's something that we are lacking right now and would be beneficial to us. I think the impression may have been that we were hiring someone just to prepare a plan, but there's a lot more activity ongoing there. So if you have had a chance to read the write-up, it's a little bit better developed, I think, for that issue. And then if you haven't, then it would give you that opportunity at some point to do that before the board considers these. The other thing for the deferred positions, we do have limited term or temp employment taking place to try to fill those roles. So that is something that we would continue for this upcoming budget year, but not create the permanent position, which would allow us to reduce the impact this year in terms of permanent positions and benefits. I think the other thing I happen to have a couple of, just the one-on-ones that came up in the cycle discussions with directors. And one of the things that came out of one of the discussions was we've recently completed our strategic plan. We've been doing a lot of organizational reshuffling and restructuring as retirements or other moves occur in the organization over the last couple of years, and looking at the needs as well. I think Mike's made a pretty good presentation, I think, on operational needs and where we are on maintenance and some of the thinking behind creating some of the work groups within his operations, TDOM's section. And some of these hires you see sort of relate to that vision. But what we could do is develop something as well to bring back that is sort of a strategic staffing look ahead to go with a strategic plan. So maybe the same horizon so that it doesn't, it's not as much year to year and surprise, we want more positions than we thought in a 2-year budget. Maybe we can get on that horizon an expectation of kind of how many positions over a period of years we would be looking for and how they fit into the organizational plan to deliver on the strategic plan. So anyway, always trying to make positive out of constructive criticism. So
okay. She put up the list. Go back to that main.
Before we get into there, can we do the public comment?
I just wanted to look at that while we were going to listen to public comment.
Okay,
that's what I was hoping. Yeah, that one is a really good summary.
Any public comments?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I just was telling my husband, I've heard this whole scenario that you're going through right now. Every time you want to come back and take more money from us. I've watched it. We've lived out here all the time. And I just want to compliment you. You're doing the very same thing and just saying that we want more money for it. By this time, how old this is, there shouldn't be any need for what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you. Would you like public comment?
No online comment.
All right, Director Colley, thank you.
Well, I just wanted to keep this up while we have the discussion. I think that's a really good. I don't need to go first.
True.
Wow.
You have the floor.
Okay, well, yes, generally my comments, I appreciate the fact that that the committee got listened to, obviously, and so I'm really delighted the government affairs analyst got deferred. It bothers the hell out of me how we in the United States govern ourselves. We are so inefficient and so stupid, and having, you know, one level of government pay money to have influence other levels of government, so anyway, that I'm glad it got deferred, because I think that we ought to do less of that, and we ought to be able to explain our position with existing staff and existing board members. The others that got deferred, great. Obviously, yeah, I got listened to. So I'm delighted that this process is working. That's my comment.
Thank you.
I like the changes that were made. I did have several informational discussions that helped me in the interim period understand what's going on. I think my one question, and I know this is like not completely unprepared for, but how much has our population growth or number of connections grown versus our staffing? Just a ballpark.
Give me a few seconds. I'm sure Darnie will let me know.
Okay. I'll let you have that few seconds. And then, I operate more in the private sector, and to see those companies ebb and flow
have to be very nimble or just disappear. It is a different world in the government side, where it does seem that regulatory demands just keep making us add more people for this, more people for that. You know, for the record, every regulation that we pass is more people, is more money. There is not a regulation that happens that I've seen that reduces cost. So it just, I hate seeing that role of, oh, this sounds great in the paper. And then this is, you know, more people that are here to meet that need, maybe well-intentioned, but and then it is becomes part of the bill. So it's just difficult for me to reconcile that, but I understand the background on all these positions. I also think as a board, and you know, as a board member, I try to focus on the must-do versus the nice-to-do. I do know we're really good at long-term planning. Thank goodness for our water planning, our water resources planning. You know, do we have to do that? No. So yeah, there's a gray area between must-do and nice-to-do, but everything that we ask for that takes staff time is going to cost money, is going to cost the customers money. So I try to be very cognizant of not adding workload. And I also do appreciate and want to see a continued focus like on the IT side and on the tech side, where things can be streamlined, roles can be repurposed. If there's a new technology that requires less people, then those people can go do something else as opposed to hiring more bodies. So I think I see that we try to embrace technology, embrace improvements, but I just would like to know, you know, what's the long-term plan? Because if we grow at X percent a year, I mean, are we going to be a 1,000-person agency in 10 years? That would be scary. So there must be a curve. So I think if there's...
Hopefully it goes the other way.
Well, yeah.
you're showing an exponential curve in your hands.
It goes like and then kind of flattens out.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully there's
And we had some of those discussions about recycled water. I mean, why for the low number of connections? And somebody can answer that if they want. You know, why for the low number of connections do we need more people for recycled water? I understand that's not like a straight line, like every 100 connections we add bodies. It's an initial hit. But it is what it is. I think it got better. I understand it more than last month, but I would like to see something long term just to as to what to expect. Do we get a number back from them?
I don't have the number, the percentage. The population growth is 3.3% since 2018 and 1.3% in connections.
Okay, and then the staffing growth was?
Depends on which starting point you choose.
Well,
I ran these.
You did?
So if you choose the 223 number right on the verge of the merger, I think it works out. And this, I did it with the reduction or not, but it's right around 2%.
It says 2.1%.
That's compounded, yeah. And then if you take the 216 or the 211 number, I'm not sure which one I used. I think I might have used the 211. Mm-hmm. That bumps it up to about 3%.
Yeah, the 223 to the 252 is 2.1% annualized growth rate.
So in line with population, very close.
And obviously it's not, you know, it's not being population driven. There's other needs. There's a range of things that are either unfulfilled things, mandated things, areas where we were, you know, we've talked about the need to increase the number of crews we have to be able to keep up on maintenance. So we're not actually hitting all of that at once. There's kind of this, like Keith has a strategy to build that. So it's gets absorbed culturally in the organization and we see how much capacity we get with a new crew. And I think, yeah, it's just kind of sprinkled all over the organization. And if you look at the positions we've added, you can kind of see how that's had an effect. And there are also things that we brought in house. So, for example, fleet services and management, we're building, you know, we made that strategic decision to build that out as an internal service so we wouldn't be as dependent on external and are using other staff to shuttle vehicles to repair shops. That's an example. We also brought more of our electrical and instrumentation work in-house and are trying to build a competent group there. A difference from when we had two treatment plants and we did have a kind of long-term electrician and a seasoned outside contractor. Mm-hmm. Now we have more and more of these facilities with motor control centers and you know, upgrading treatment equipment and other things. It's sort of, so those are more shifts in how we do things in combination with the volume of those things is increasing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go from having two surface plants and one groundwater treatment plant to having maybe 12 groundwater treatment plants.
That's some PFAS regulation.
And perchlorate too. You know, we still got 201 and 205 finish equipping, which are perchlorate driven. But yes, then even more PFAS. So
yeah.
Those also come with operational needs for staff to come in and maintain those. There's on-site fluoridation stations. There's changing out the resin. You know, we may get to a point where we're changing out resin more than once a month. So we have maybe specialists that are just doing that, you know, working with the vendors to make sure those things arrive in time. Yeah, it is a daunting enterprise dealing with, you know, taking source water quality that's at one level and bringing it up to the level that's required has never been more challenging. So the water's probably never been better either. That's different. The more we know, the more we treat.
Your ground challenge, you have?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the reevaluation and having this discussion again after the lengthy discussion last time. I was trying to find, in thinking back, so I was reading this and thinking about the discussion we had last meeting, trying to find the words of like pinpoint the feeling of and the words of what was initially making me feel uncomfortable. And I found that it came down to expectation management. So that actually ties in really nicely to what you just suggested in terms of building a strategic staffing plan to maybe bring to us on some type of regular basis. So I think that's very much in line with what I was thinking. And so, you know, because the additional questions that I was kind of bringing to this meeting was, okay, so what are we looking at for the next 2-year budget in terms of additional staffing if we approve these, right? Like what else is down, what else is coming down the pipeline
right.
that we want to be thinking about now maybe? And then is going to be two sets of requests again at the beginning of the budget process and then midway again? So those were kind of the lingering questions that I had in my mind. So again, just to kind of tie it back to what you said, I think if we had that kind of longer term vision presented to us on a regular basis, I think that would ease some of those concerns. Yeah. I agree with that. And if I can dovetail off of that, one thing I forgot to mention, but I did take away from, and I'm forgetting his name, the guy that retired from Met,
the presentation that you.
Yes.
Jeff Keitlinger?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, at Urban Water Institute. He talked about how so many of their staff were over 50. First, he brought the staff down, which was a big thing. But then also his very old staff, and they had trouble getting new people, and they had to consciously bring in younger people and train them. And the staff had a preference to hire older, experienced people, but they realized then they were just going to constantly have people over 50 and for the bulk of their staff. And he didn't want to be in that position. So another thing that a long-term look and that would help, I think, the directors understand how are we going to approach that is, you know, maybe we need to constantly be bringing in a few people at a time on the younger end of the scale to train them up
as other people are retiring, and you know, what does that do for our long-term strategy and the budget? So I think a long-term plan can address a lot of things and probably make us understand what this is going to look like year after year and why.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Can I suggest, though, that no way in the world is the board suggesting that we use age as criteria
in hiring
people. So when you say younger, let's not use the word younger. Let's say, a lower level of experience and qualifications,
yeah,
perhaps, so that we can train them up.
Sure.
But
I didn't mean, yeah, I didn't
you,
mean
you
that.
Didn't mean
that.
I meant the staff should
like
go.
The succession planning, that we don't have a lot of retirements at one time, because then we'll be that short.
Yeah, yeah.
That we need to make sure there's a chain coming.
I just want to make sure, because when the board says that we want only young people, that would be a huge,
I
think it worked pretty quick.
I was going to try to address that proactively as well. Perhaps I didn't take it that way first, I'll say that,
yeah,
for sure. And I don't think any of our hiring managers take it that way. I do think one of the things we've tried to start doing is, when we're planning the organizational, you know, path for people, is, do we have positions distributed through different series where there is a path, right? So we would, you know, I think in many departments that exists. We, you know, I just look at the people I meet. I meet every new hire and get a chance to talk to them and talk about their background, et cetera. And I would say, you know, more than half, at least, probably better than half, are coming in at relatively, if not entry, early career levels in our scale. A lot of field work or service workers come in with maybe ops experience at one small agency coming in. Now they're ready to make that next step up. We do have some mid-career people that come, and they bring some experience. And it really, we look at it based on the level of the position, like you said, not the age of the candidate. We don't know the age of the candidate. So that makes it really easy. I would say the same thing, like we've tried, I know Courtney's tried to structure the engineering department, not so much around age, but around increasing levels of experience. So we can bring in some engineers that are just getting, you know, gotten their degree or have their EIT, but they don't have their license yet, or, you know, and they work their way up under people that are supervising them over time. And that's a long progression. I think in accounting, it's similar to that there are, you know, there are people who come in and they're doing one thing, and then they gain more experience, and they're over time, over years, then they're supervising that thing. Mm-hmm. So ideally, yeah, you don't want to end up where you have all one level. Treatment operators are kind of a little bit of an exception, that it's sort of like having more rooks on the chessboard. It's not a bad thing all the time. But I would say that might be a little heavier, just because of the D5 requirement for surface water treatment. But that's just off the cuff, maybe the one area I think where we actually don't mind. You know, we probably structure with a little more seniors in our part of mix of people. But even then, we're trying to think about that. Yeah, we need to make sure we've got people that 10 years from now have 10 years of experience operating our plant, because that 10 years puts them through many different operating scenarios, right? The ones who went through the turbidity in 2022, when they're around in 2032, you know, hopefully some of them, they'll be like, oh yeah, we did that. I know how to do that.
Yeah, we survived it.
As an example. So I won't go on too long, but I do appreciate the thought of trying to distribute kind of the range of experience in the organization to help with succession.
That I am pretty satisfied of the outcome of what we're hearing tonight, and also the reports back. It is essential, you know, one of the things that in my career I've always have really wanted to express and do the best thing is maintenance and maintenance of facilities. Because you get rewarded immensely for longevity of that equipment. And the other things is that you bring personnel that are working on that equipment up to speed and they can perform miracles on it than, say, the less experienced people can do. And I appreciate the effort that the staff has done to, you know, to bring these three systems together, actually four systems together into one cohesive group, because I know them all as individual groups with their own situations. And I understand that to bring them all together is kind of cool, but also to see it at work, even in my neighborhood with that pump station down on Hillcrest, them all working together, trying to get that thing back together again. But with that, what should we do? Should we put this on a consent, or should we have an action item?
No, we should have action.
We should have an action.
I'm going to make just a couple of comments on like future kinds of things, right? So, yeah, I mean, when one of the things that was missing here was the past cost we've paid temps to do the work. So one of the things that is used as justification that can be quantified, I think, is we hired, you know, we're paying people to do this. Now we're making it a full-time position rather than last year we paid, you know, five temps that came and went and they were kind of a mess and cost us a lot of money and we get no experience. Now we're asking to have one person, whatever. I mean, those, so we could, in the future, if you can maybe quantify better past expenses that can be quantified rather than hand-waving arguments. So that's just something in the future that I'd like to see, I think would make the argument. Maybe you would only have one board meeting or one committee meeting and you wouldn't have to bring all these troops to breathe down my neck.
This was
it's interesting that you parked two of them.
Director Charlie, this was part of my staff development for it. To share the joy.
Well, he should have been here the last time to share the joy then. We're much more agreeable this time.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I just there are possible arguments that can be made that we'd be better quantified. Because that's one I always hate hand waving arguments that don't often. Anyway, thank you.
So I believe we're going to put this as an agenda item, and what the next upcoming meeting or next month?
Yes. There's a slight timing issue, but just so we know, as staff, we're going to take the recommendation here today and include it into our draft budget. But you'll be seeing the draft budget at the committee one day before the full board would approve this action. Now, of course, we can always take it out, you know, if we had to, but that's kind of the weird timing.
Next month, we're changing the. Don't we have a change in the regular board meeting schedule too? Because of ACWA.
Yeah.
Yes. It's
May 13th.
It's going to be the 13th.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Moving on to item number six is recommend receiving and filing.
Everyone can
vacate.
It's
going to
be now.
Oh, no. This is part of that training event.
Get the stage. All right. I recommend receiving and filing the February 2024 monthly financial report.
Yes. So this is through February 29th. We have 766,000 more in operating revenues. Nearly all of our expense departments are under budget. So for the month, we are under budget by 1.4 million. We have a net operating revenues about 2.1 million. And then when we're looking at our non-operating revenues, still slightly below 1.2 million, and we're still waiting for some of those grant revenues to come in. And then on our capital improvement PAYGO, I'll kind of go through that in a minute. On the year to date, we are under budget by about 3.6 million for the month. The difference of the 2.2 million in our debt service has to do with when we approved the budget and went through our budget process in April. It was before we finalized the 2023 bond issue, and the payments are less, and we changed a little bit of the way we formatted that particular bond issue. So that's why there's a variance here. On the year to date, we are about 8.9 million below budget. That was primarily in the summer months at the beginning of the fiscal year. We are under budget in all of our expense departments by 10.3 million. So we still have a positive net operating revenues of 1.4 million, even though we have received less revenues. Our non-operating revenues is about the same, 1.3 million under budget. Our capital improvements are PAYGO, the difference of 34 million there, 16 million spent out of a $50 million budget. This happens to be very similar to the amount that we're carrying over for our next year's capital plan. So we'll see that next month when we go through the draft budget. How funds that were unspent this year because projects have been deferred to next year, the money will also be deferred to next year. And then that's all I have on the financials. This is just a monthly financials and not the quarterly. So not much to report unless there's any questions.
Questions from board members? I don't have any in here. So we'll move on. Thank you, Rochelle. So next is the planning calendar.
So just for the next couple months, talked about it, bringing back the draft budget next year, our next month to review. We will also be in July. Or in June, we'll be reviewing the state water contract tax rate. So we will be reviewing the budget and the tax rate for the ad valorem property tax. We have an item on here that's discuss retail water rate structures, but it's not necessarily the structures, but we're preparing our next rate study, our cost of service. We did want to address when we may be ready to for water budgets, and then what our plan is starting July for our next rate cycle. And then that's pretty much it for the next couple months. We do have something in July as a placeholder for WIFIA, the legal documents, but we're not sure. It could be July or August.
Public comment?
No public comments.
Okay, with that, board of directors? Any items? Vice President Gusak.
Great. Design. Is that a website presentation?
No, it's an internal.
Just on options and what other agencies do?
No, not necessarily what other agencies are doing, but we're going to lay out our plan, what our timing is, we'll bring to the table what we had considered of possibly doing a regular what our rates are today versus maybe what the water budget rates might look like, knowing that we're not quite ready for that. Mm-hmm. And then we had a discussion with Matt Dickens because they are just doing a sustainability plan.
Water use efficiency
strategic plan. So we're talking about how our we're going to bring in what our demand is, you know, looking at have we reached our conservation? Do we need to include more conservation when we are looking at our rates? And then when we could be ready to possibly discuss, you know, having a water-based budget or using it as education first. And so just kind of a general rate discussion before we actually get into the rates starting in July.
Is the state going to mandate water budget?
I don't think that's been determined yet.
We don't think so.
Not yet.
It's the mandate is you figure out how to get people to use less water under the new plan. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the tools we might have, mm-hmm. but I think our feeling is we're not quite there to implement it. By having done one mm-hmm. and seen other agencies in Orange County, it takes, you have to really ramp up for that and make sure you've got data. And speaking of temps, customer service mm-hmm. capacity to field calls and mm-hmm. handle appeals and adjustments and that kind of thing. But a look ahead, we thought would be good because it'll set up that conversation for what other pieces that we need to, would we need to have in place if we were going to go down that path in the future.
Right. We move on to item number 8, request for future agenda items. Director Colley.
So I recently learned that public agencies can do a non-disclosure agreement, particularly with folks that have settled lawsuits and that sort of thing. It's been a while since I recall having done such things here at the agency, but just wanted to have a discussion about whether or not we would ever allow such a thing. I mean, but to say that the public doesn't have access to information that we do seems really wrong. But since we could legally do it, I'd like to discuss whether or not there would be a policy or should we, in advance of having the need, like to have a discussion about it.
You said related to legal settlements that we would enter into, or okay.
Yeah, if somebody was to sue us and, you know, for anything, I guess. You know, I don't know, you know, when we pass things over, like we have some kind of a claim that Aqua JPIA takes care of for us. I don't know if they do that sort of thing. I'd like to know if they do. If we have our own employee matter that we settle, I'd like to know if we do. Just like to know how transparent we are.
Yeah. Well, we might need legal's opinion on that too, because there might be some, yeah, to hear from legal opinion on. In some cases, it could be protective, and in other cases, it could be harmful.
Yeah. It may be inconvenient. Oftentimes, it may look bad on a public agency if they settle a lawsuit, and so maybe we don't want to look bad, but I don't think we ought to be concerned about how we would look bad. I think we ought to be concerned with transparency and the public access to information generally. And I think that ought to be our policy. So I just think we ought to have a discussion about it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to stick my foot in my mouth again tonight after my last time.
Do you want a younger attorney?
I'll say offline what I'm thinking of because I don't want to make a mistake on what's confidential and not.
Yeah.
There's other things I'm thinking of that...
I think understand the request and we can... We'll probably want to, if we, you know, when we do that, we probably want to have a discussion in a forum where we can, if we can do it in closed session, it might be appropriate so that the council can be candid about situations that might arise where you would definitely either want one or not want one. And that might help craft any nuances in the policy that we don't want to box ourselves in completely. I understand the intent of not hiding everything or sweeping everything in the room.
Right.
That's kind of my...
There may be certain situations that are interpersonal or of a sensitive nature where you're not only... you may be protecting the victim of some situation.
Good. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. I just want to have the discussion because I was kind of shocked that apparently the Brown Act doesn't cover that. Public's business does not have to be always transacted in public.
What kind of forum did you hear this?
Well, personnel issues are one area that are somewhat protected.
What kind of non-disclosure agreements are
they talking about? Agencies, public agencies use them to avoid embarrassment, I think.
Sometimes it's looked at. It's not embarrassment. Sometimes it's more like public information that's not really public, maybe.
Yeah.
So,
anyway, just wanted to have a discussion.
Okay.
Somehow. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Any other items of interest? Any public comment about that item?
No public
comment. All right. Thank you. Item number 9, general report on finance and administration activities, since we see a lot of...
I just had a couple things. Just giving kudos to our HR staff who are working really hard on implementing our core HCM and Oracle. We're in phase one. We are moving along a little bit faster than we thought. We're looking to start phase two, which includes payroll and timekeeping, either in June or July. And that will also include phase three, which is recruitment. So the team is working really hard, and it's we're getting some positive results from the HR staff. On our ratepayer assistance program. I have to report on that every other month or so. We have 602 participants, 279 priority, 323 non-priority. That's annually about $72,000. We do, because it's a pilot program, we have $100,000 annually from our non-rate revenues for that program. We are using the same $100,000 for our fiscal year 25 revised budget, unless we hear otherwise. I was just in next month we are doing our field work for our audit, so that's coming around quickly again. So that's all I had.
With that, any public comment?
No public comment.
And comments from the board members? No.
Thank you to your staff.
Yes. Well, thank you. And of course, here we are at item number 10. Adjournment.
Thank you, Ryan. Thanks,
Yeah. Internal.